Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're focusing our attention on something that's pretty critical in modern data centers, but it's often, you know, hidden in plain sight.
The suspended ceiling grid.
Exactly. And this isn't just about like acoustics or hiding away some ductwork.
Not at all. This is about load distribution containment. It's a high-performance, secure environment we're talking about.
It's structural.
It's absolutely structural. I mean, when you look at the specs for a massive data hall, the ceiling is one of the most critical load-bearing elements. It's this invisible backbone.
Right.
Supporting everything from heavy bus bars for power, huge cable trays just overflowing with fiber, and even the actual framework for hot or cold aisle containment. The weight is just immense.
So for our deep dive today, we've got three key technical specifications in front of us. They represent sort of a tiered approach to capacity. Mm-hmm. The MAX's DASRL, the M, and the S data center grids.
And our mission here is really to go beyond the marketing sheets. We need to understand the, you know, the fundamental engineering trade-offs and also the crucial consistencies across this product line.
Okay.
We need to give you the clarity to pick the right one. Because when you choose, say, the L instead of the S, you're making a massive commitment to future density.
And that has real-world implications.
Oh, absolutely. For cost, installation time, ongoing stability, everything.
So what does this all mean for you, the designer or engineer, planning out this high-density infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
What makes these three systems fundamentally different? And I guess, why should you care about the subtle technical details of a ceiling?
Well, let's unpack that.
Let's start with the absolute core distinction, load capacity.
The conversation has to start there. It has to start with the uniform load performance, which is measured in kilonewtons, or kEvin.
Yeah.
This one metric dictates pretty much everything else about the system's structural utility.
And the numbers, they paint a very clear picture, a clear hierarchy. If you're building for, you know, maximum density, heavy overhead stuff, you're jumping straight to the Maxwell cell model.
The heavy-duty system.
And it's rated for a uniform load capacity of 5 kilo N.
Right. Then you have that Max-ESM model. It targets that huge middle ground, you know, standard large-scale deployments. That one tops out at 3.5 kilo N.
Which might be enough if you're using, say, lighter cable trays or maybe more localized bus bar setups.
Exactly. And then finally, you have the Maxi-OS. It's designed for smaller loads, areas where density just isn't the top priority, and that one caps out at 2 kilo N.
So just to put it simply, you can put 2.5 times the weight on the L model compared to the S model.
That's a massive difference, especially when you're planning for future scaling.
Yeah.
But here's what's fascinating, and this is where the, you know, the smart engineering comes in.
Okay.
It's the consistency. Despite this huge variation in load capacity, the maximum allowed deflection for all three systems, L, M, and S, is exactly the same.
What is it?
10 millimeters.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me that under 2.5 times the weight, the L model can only sink by the exact same amount as the S model?
That's right. 10 millimeters.
That suggests a radical difference in material science, or maybe the profile design between the two, doesn't it? Is the L model just built from thicker or higher grade materials?
Precisely. To achieve that controlled deflection, and I mean, 10 millimeters is an extremely low tolerance for a 5 kilo N load spread across a grid.
It's tiny.
So the Max-ISL has to use significantly more robust carrier profiles. While they look the same on the outside and the modularity is the same internally, that L profile is just optimized for stiffness.
And that low deflection is key.
It's vital, because if the ceiling moves too much, it can stress the components attached to it, especially rigid things like bus bars. It can even compromise the airtight seal of your containment systems. It's all about reliability.
So the designer is basically trading a bigger upfront investment in material strength in the L model for long-term structural assurance.
Right, and consistency no matter how much heavy gear they pile on top of it.
It makes perfect sense for a mission-critical environment.
It connects the structure directly to the operational environment.
Okay, let's pivot a bit from pure strength to the features that help with deployment. So standardization and modularity, which all three systems share.
Right. Efficiency in these huge deployments demands uniformity. All three Maxis systems, L, M, and S, are available in the exact same three standard module sizes. 600 by 600 millimeters, 1200 by 600, and 1200 by 1200 millimeters.
And that standardization means crews only need to learn one assembly method.
And facility operators only need one set of spare parts for repairs, you know, regardless of the grid's load rating. It just simplifies everything.
What about tricky installations? I mean, data halls are rarely kerfed squares, you've always got columns or wall perimeters to deal with.
Yeah, and crucially, they've solved that perimeter problem. The edge panels, they're designed so you can cut them to size right there on the job site.
And that doesn't mess with the load rating.
No, and this is the key insight. That customization does not affect the certified load-bearing capacity. That load is all handled by the main carrier profiles, not the edge panels themselves.
Oh, okay.
So you maintain structural integrity even with custom-cut infills.
That's a huge logistical time saver.
Yeah.
And we also see that standardization in the visual stuff. Steel or aluminum panels, all finished in the same REO 901's white.
Yeah, consistency looks professional, but it also just reduces complexity when you're dealing with these massive multi-hall campuses.
So moving into operation, let's talk access. Hmm. Because in a data center, you're constantly needing to get into that ceiling void.
All the time. Maintenance, fiber patching, swapping out components. Speed is essential, but so is keeping that sealed environment.
Right, so the construction has to find a perfect balance there. How is the panel secured, but still allows for that quick access?
They use a really engineered mechanism. It's called the lay-on plus clip-in system.
Okay.
You just lay the panel into the aluminum frame and it clips securely into place. It's completely tool-free access.
So it's tight enough for an airtight seal.
Yes, which is important for maintaining those pressure differentials, but it allows the technician to just push up and unclip it instantly.
Okay. Now here's where it gets really interesting, tying back to the high pressures and complex airflows you find in data centers.
Right.
If you have a highly pressurized hot aisle containment system right into the ceiling, you might risk panels being pushed up and out of the grid. Is there anything to prevent that?
That's exactly why the optional security feature is necessary. You can actively anchor the panels down against any uplift or pressure from below using these little safety clips.
Now, you mentioned a slight part number difference earlier. The Maxi SL model uses a DC5 SC clip, but the M&S models use a DC2 SC clip.
That's right.
Why the different clip? If they're both made of spring steel, why not just have one universal part? Does the heavy-duty L profile need a different kind of grip?
That's the most likely reason. Given that the Maxi's L carrier profile is structurally, thicker and more robust to handle that 5-kilon load.
Sure.
The locking mechanism, the spring steel clip, it has to be dimensioned differently to get the same locking force and grip depth that's required for that heavier profile.
So it's a necessary difference to maintain absolute security across the different load ratings.
Exactly. It's a divergence in standardization, but for a good reason.
Fascinating. So the installation process is super straightforward. Step one, lay the panel, clip it in.
Yep.
Step two, if you need it for extra security or high pressure, you install that specific spring steel clip.
And disassembly is just as fast. It's just the reverse. Remove the clip. If it's there, then push the panel up until it unclips. That quick, documented, and secure access is essential.
Let's talk about the support structure itself. How does this whole grid attach to the building? And more importantly, how do we attach the massive multi-ton cable trays and bus bars to the grid?
Okay, so the foundation starts at the bare concrete ceiling. The carrier profiles are suspended with M10 threaded rods, but critically, they use these special quick lock brackets. And they're not just for speed, they are vital for easy height adjustment. On a massive floor, you're always going to run into ceiling height differences.
So the ability to rapidly level the whole grid is non-negotiable.
Absolutely.
What's really ingenious here, and a huge difference from traditional ceilings, is the direct attachment capability.
Mm.
You're not forcing contractors to, weld custom frames onto the structure.
Precisely. The main profiles themselves are engineered to accept heavy-duty attachments directly. You can attach M10 or M8 threaded rods right into the profile to hang your cable trays, containment frames, whatever you need.
And how does that direct attachment work without compromising the profile's strength?
It uses a specific part, the Durlam M10 stainless steel T-nut. Mm. The profile geometry is slotted specifically to accept the standardized T-nut.
So it creates a certified load transfer point.
A robust, predictable, certified point. And this is so much better than traditional methods because it integrates the support right into the ceiling grid itself. It eliminates the need for expensive secondary support infrastructure.
That cuts down material costs, simplifies installation.
And it keeps the ceiling void clear, which can actually reduce the overall construction height you need in the data hall.
That integration is the key takeaway for any facility designer. You're using the grid itself as the primary structural support path, not just a covering.
Exactly. Now, a quick note for the contracting teams out there. While the system provides the grid and the attachment points, the foundational bits, the M10 expansion bolts for the concrete, and the M10 threaded rods, those still need to be supplied by the ceiling contractor.
Right, standardizing what is supplied.
Yes, to ensure control over the most structurally sensitive parts.
And looking at the diagrams, we see a whole suite of components, like the DCXFB cross plates and various brackets, L bracket, T bracket, cross bracket. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with the quick lock feature on the cross brackets?
Ah, the quick lock on the cross brackets is oriented at 45 degrees, which is a key design choice.
Okay, why?
It's designed for two things. One, easy drop-in assembly for faster construction. And two, crucially, it allows for this precise, fine-tuned rise-drop regulation to make sure the whole ceiling plane stays perfectly flat and level across these huge distances.
And maintaining that flatness is essential for the ceiling integrity of the containment systems that attach to it.
You got it.
All right, let's zoom out now and focus on compliance, safety, and sustainability, the things that really elevate these systems from simple grids to IT-grade infrastructure.
Beyond just strength, these systems have to create an ideal environment, so they're engineered to be airtight and dustproof.
Which minimizes contamination.
And it helps maintain the pressure differentials you need for cooling. They also fulfill requirements for fire protection and, if needed, sound insulation. It's a whole environmental control package.
We should probably connect this back to the mandatory technical requirements and standards that you, the listener, really have to observe.
Excellent point. The manufacturing is required to be according to TAME, the Technical Agreement for Information Management.
And that's not just a stamp.
No, TAME compliance implies rigorous quality assurance, material traceability, specific installation practices, even defined torque settings and quality checks.
And what about fire safety? That's paramount in a data hall.
The system complies with BSE M476, specifically Part 6, which is fire propagation, and Part 7, surface spread of flame.
So the materials resist fire spread.
Exactly. They help compartmentalize any potential incidents. On top of that, the structural mounting of the grid has to be done according to the European standard EN13964.
Which dictates things like low-capacity testing and those deflection limits.
It all comes full circle.
And a constant reminder for anyone overseeing the construction: always observe your local building requirements. You have to use only approved mounting plugs and check your construction tolerances.
Especially wall connections. They have to be secured with care so they don't impact the rigid grid structure.
Right. And finally, let's touch on the environmental benefits. This is a boardroom mandate for a lot of large operators now.
It is. And all these ceilings are stated to be 100% recyclable, which supports, you know, circular economy models in construction.
And they're sustainable, easy to maintain, and critical for air quality inside the IT space. They're described as inert, odor-free, producing no dust, particles, or vapor.
They won't contaminate sensitive air filtration systems.
Okay, so to summarize this deep dive, the fundamental choice between the Maxxis SL, M, and S grids comes down to capacity.
It's a decision based on the KN rating 5, 3.5, or 2 that determines your ability to support future density. Simple as that.
But the real value is in the platform consistency. Regardless of which load rating you pick, you get the standardized modules, the quick, tool-free access.
The crucial integrated M8 M10 direct attachment, that standardized 10-millimeter deflection tolerance, and adherence to global standards like TAME and EN13964.
So you're choosing the load, but you're keeping the high-performance operational standard.
And that allows engineers to future-proof their designs. They can scale their loan requirements linearly without having to invent entirely new designs or retrain their labor force for every upgrade.
Which leaves us with this final provocative thought for you to consider. If the Max ICAS L model is already supporting 5KN, a massive load that only years ago would have needed custom fabricated steel trusses.
And we know data center power density is only accelerating.
Right. So how far away are we from the next necessary leap? When do data centers start needing a 7KN or maybe even a 10KN structural ceiling grid, a grid that might demand completely new materials like carbon fiber composites?
That's the challenge for the next generation of high-density infrastructure planning.